name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends, it's very easy to miss that last word. Jesus didn't just cure one or two people. We see that in the gospel. He cured this person and that person. And we may get the, we may have the mistaken notion that he only did a few miracles that were in the gospel. My dear friends, as you saw today, virtue went out from him and he cured all. All he cured everybody. This is why so many people came to him. We know at another point, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, came to him and he fed them. Another time, 3,000. I mean, who can believe this? Don't forget, this is the Son of God. And virtue went out from him. As you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. The people are not fooled. They're not going to go to some person who is a trickster and doesn't give them the truth. So they were given these wonderful teachings. And Jesus chose his 12 apostles, among whom was Bartholomew, also called Nathanael. You may remember his call in St. John's Gospel that Jesus called him. He said he saw him under a fig tree. And Nathanael was very, very, very surprised and knew that that was very special. So knowing that Jesus knew him, and Jesus said of Bartholomew, a man without guile, no guilelessness in him. No trickery. He is a man very much like our Lord would say in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. My dear friends, as I've been telling you for the last few weeks in these commentaries on the readings and the Fatima message, it is so important to be pure of heart. Our Lady said to stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. She also told Jacinta that most souls go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. And she showed them hell to the three little children. And you have seen hell, she said, where the souls of poor sinners go. If men do what I say, many souls will be saved. And what did she say? She said to pray the rosary. Stop offending God. And various other passages, she enumerated the various sins that people would commit in modesty. There'll be fashions that will be introduced that will be offensive to her son. Many marriages are not good and not of God, and so on. So we see that epidemic now going in our world. The devil knows how to trick us. As I told you, our tree of good and evil is sexual pleasure. We cannot have sexual pleasure outside of marriage in the proper way to have children. And what is the devil doing? He is now going throughout the world with all his henchmen, all his liberals, all his magistrates and government officials, and promoting all kinds of abominations. Terrible, terrible sins. We know that people, they can divorce and remarry. I told you all those sins against the sexual sins. Homosexuality. We now have transgenderism. And we now have, in advent with the internet and so on, a proliferation of pornography. My dear friends, among men especially, this sin is pervasive and is poisonous. There is no way you can watch pornography and not be affected by it. And don't forget, those images are always in the mind. When you see something, it's in your mind. It's imprinted almost like a camera. And how do you get rid of those terrible images if you've been addicted to it for days and days and years and years? I told you I hear confessions. Sometimes people tell me they watch pornography 3 times a day, 7 days a week. And of course now the school children can watch it on their, as 10, 11-year-olds, on their telephones and their computers that are built with in them. My dear friends, it is epidemic. This is why it's so important to be pure of heart, like Bartholomew, Nathaniel, without guile. And he went to the Indies at first. The apostles were given lots, and it was chosen that he would go to the Indies. And then after going to the Indies, he went to Armenia, where he converted the king in 12 cities. And then the king's brother was jealous, and they flayed him and beheaded him. Flayed him. They took off his skin on his body and then decapitated him. So Bartholomew is a great apostle. All the apostles, how God chose them, because God sees the heart. And of course, he did lose one. We can speculate why did God choose Judas when he knew he would betray him? Well, that was the whole part of the whole thing. God would always bring some good out of it, and even after Judas betrayed him, he still would have forgiven him. But Judas despaired. So sad. And that's why the Lord said, better for him if he had not been born. Think about those words. Better if Judas had not been born. Because what's happening going to happen to him now, he will be in hell if he's lost his soul. I think most commentators say he is. He'll be in hell for all eternity. And if not him, just him, but all those who have lost their souls, all those persecutors of the faith will now endure terrible agony. They are better off if they had never been born. This is why we can call them the misbegotten. Misbegotten. How many misbegotten people? They've been begotten by their parents, of course, but they're misbegotten because they're not fulfilling what they should be doing. And they will be in hell for all eternity. We see that in the scriptures. Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully. Cursed. When you don't do what God wants and you don't keep his commandments, as Moses says, Moses said, choose a blessing or choose a curse. If you obey the commandments, you will be blessed. If you do not obey the commandments, you will be cursed. So how many people today not obeying the commandments, not keeping the commandments, adoring themselves, as it were, preferring their own wills and their own pleasures, self-adoration than to adoration of God. God said you can have all the fruits to Adam, all the fruits in the paradise, but one thing you cannot have, the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And he tells us the same. You can have all the treats and fruits of this world, but there's one thing you cannot have. Sexual pleasure outside of marriage in the proper way to have children. And if you do, you are going to lose your soul. How many people want their own way? We used to have a wonderful priest in our order who always said, idolatry leads to adultery. Idolatry. What does that mean? That means when you adore yourself instead of God, self-adoration, and you prefer your will to God's will, you exchange the glory that you should give to God, you give it to yourself, and it leads you into sins of the flesh, terrible sins, all the sins related to adultery, all the sexual sins. We see that in many, many people today. St. Paul said the same thing. If you don't pray and you don't honor God and you don't glorify God, you will become vain in your reasoning and your senseless mind will be darkened. Those are two curses, if I may use the word, vain reasoning, foolish reasoning. There's no God, there's no hell. One religion's as good as another. You don't have to go to Mass. You don't have to go to communion. You don't have to go to confession. Vain reasoning, and the senseless mind is darkened. And then there's a third curse, if I may use that word. By the way, I should explain, why does God allow curses to come to us? Well, to wake us up. Maybe when we flounder around in the mud like the prodigal son, and we eat with the pigs, maybe we'll see what we've done to ourselves. Maybe we'll wake up. What have I done to myself? And maybe we'll change our lives. So he allows disasters and bad things to happen to us to wake us up. Because God does not wish the death of a sinner, but that he live and be with him for all eternity, as the Catechism tells us. Why were we made? We were made to know, love, and serve God. That's why we were made, and to be with him forever in heaven. And if we're not going to be with him in heaven for all eternity, we'll be in hell. And that's why I say it's better. Think about it. It's better if that person had not been born. What about all the people we see today in the world who don't believe, who don't go to church? Catholics, 90% don't go to church. 90%. And even some of those 10% who do go to church practice behavior that's not proper. They believe you can contracept, believe you don't have to go to communion, a confession. You don't have to tell your sins to a priest. This wonderful miracle. What a great miracle. We saw today how Jesus would cure all. So if he can cure the body, what about the soul? Didn't he say that about the paralytic? Go, thy sins are forgiven. Which is it easier to say, thy sins are forgiven, or arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, I say to you, arise and walk. And the paralytic was cured and stood up and rejoiced. My dear friends, what beautiful miracles. No wonder St. John the Baptist could call, when he first saw Jesus by the River Jordan, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he takes away the sins of the world on Calvary. And that's why the Mass is so important, because it's another Calvary. Jesus constantly, in every place in the world, as Malachi say, and there's a clean sacrifice from morning to night. My name is great among the Gentiles. And that relates to the Mass. Day in and day out, all around the world, there's a Mass being said to give praise and honor and glory to the Father. Jesus Christ offers himself. What a miracle, my friends. Every day at Mass. Think about it with the eyes of faith. Ask for understanding. Don't just dismiss it as saying, well, it's just another Mass. Realize what's going on at the Mass. Jesus is offering himself again and again. He did it once, and that was enough, of course. But he wants to constantly praise the Father through his priests so that we can get all the graces we need, this most wonderful thing. And we'll only understand the eternal sacrifice in heaven, right? When we have the eternal sacrifice continually in heaven, as it were. Jesus offering himself to the Father. My dear friends, this is why it's so wonderful in the Catholic Church. No other church has the Mass. No other church has confession of sins, penance. Anthony Mary Claret says it's not that people have to become Catholics, but where else are they going to get rid of their mortal sins? Where else? Chesterton said, I wanted a faith in which my sins would be forgiven. How many Catholics non-Catholics do you know that don't have any faith and they're in the wrong church, a church that can't forgive sins. In fact, a church that may even enable them to commit sins because it allows homosexuality, or it allows divorce and remarriage, and it allows contraception, and maybe they even approve of transgenderism. I don't know all the particulars of all these things. But if all these poor people go to these places and they get fed these lies, they'll fall into sin. How are they going to save their soul? And that's why the church is always taught, you don't hear it too much, outside the church there is no salvation. Outside the Catholic Church there is no salvation. All right, now that has to be understood, of course. We know if people have invincible ignorance, it's not their fault that they don't know the Catholic Church is the true church, but they should pray. And if they do pray, by the way, and we go back to Paul, Romans 1:20, if you pray and honor God and glorify God, you will not be vain in your reasonings, but you'll be wise and enlightened in your reasonings. And you'll see the beauty of the Catholic Church. And that's why it's so important to pray, pray, pray the rosary. Even non-Catholics, if they start praying the rosary, my friends, they will become Catholics. It's that simple. Our Lady will give them the grace. That's why husbands and wives, even if one of them is a non-Catholic, should pray the rosary together. Right? Pray the rosary. It's scriptural. It's in the Bible. It's the life of Jesus and Mary. Why not? The Our Father, Jesus taught it to us. What do you have against the Our Father? What do you have against the Hail Mary? The angel came to Mary. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And Elizabeth says, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. We're praising Mary and the fruit of her womb. My dear friends, you pray that all the time, and you're going to be blessed. And then the church adds, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. That repetition is so beautiful. And that's why you get your non-Catholics to pray the rosary at least a deck of the day. And maybe they'll come back. Because we got to do something, my dear friends. Time is running out for many of us because we're getting old. I speak to so many people today, many who are married to non-Catholics. And I says, is your husband a Catholic? Your wife? No, no. And I think to myself, you mean after 40 or 50 years of marriage, you haven't convinced him to become a Catholic? You got to do more. You got to tell them they have to become a Catholic. You should have done it before you got married, to tell you the truth. Marry me only if you're a Catholic. I won't marry you. That's my philosophy. I've heard that before from other people. It's not just me. Marry me by become a Catholic first. Huh? Be a lot easier then. If they don't want to marry you, maybe they don't really love you. Right? So much trouble and heartache would have been saved. So you have to pray now because you made your bed and you have to sleep in it. Spouses, if your husband's non-Catholic or wife, you pray. Pray them. Pray for them yourselves with rosaries every day and ask them to pray the rosary. If they won't pray the rosary, at least say three Hail Marys. Start there. Just say the Hail Mary, say the Our Father, pray, pray, and then you will no longer become vain in your reasoning. You'll become wise, and your mind will not be darkened, but enlightened. My dear friends, because if we die with our sins on our soul, where are we going to get rid of all those sins that we've had? Right? I don't know how people carry these sins around on their back, as it were. Right? So much. Going to confession, so, so, so important. Right? And we should go to confession all the time. And if you've been away from the confessional, get there. Because the confessional is a great means of growing spiritually. Getting the grace of God, getting your sins forgiven, and even getting spiritual help. Sometimes people make confessions to me and they I ask them the question, do you contracept? Did you contracept in your marriage? And if they say yes, all right, then we got rid of that sin. Sometimes they get so hard-hearted, they won't give up the contraception. And I can't give them absolution. Just like I can't give them absolution if they steal things and they won't pay them back with restitution and other things. See, people get very hard-hearted sometimes, and what can you do? But the priest will take care of that in the confessional, and I usually speak to them and tell them how important it is to make sure you give up your sins, give up your practice of watching pornography, give up your practice of gambling or drinking and so on. Getting drunk, of course. All right, my dear friends, keep up the good work. Keep praying and sacrificing, especially for souls in your family, relatives, friends, and work on saving souls, getting people into the Catholic Church, and getting Catholics back to church, and getting Catholics back to Mass, and tell them, where are you going to spend eternity? Eternity. Can you imagine being in hell for all eternity? As little Jacinta said, you mean it will never, never end. Never end. Think about it. All right, so let us pray and thank the Lord and thank Our Lady. And let us pray the Holy Rosary for all those people in the world. If men do what I say, Our Lady said, many souls will be saved. May the Lord bless you.